ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Text 42, Canto 4, Chapter 12. Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead.
Ya pancha varsho guru dara bak sharayir vinena yato hridayena dhuyata vanam madat vanam mad adesha karochitam prabhum jagaya tad bhakta gunai parajitam ya pancha varsho guru daravak sharayir dhinena yato hridayena dhuyata vanam madadesha karochitam prabhum jagaya tad bhakta gunai parajitam yaha he who panchavarshaha at the age of 5 years guru dara of the wife of his father. Vaksharair, by the harsh words, Dhinena, being very much aggrieved, Yataha, went, Hridayena, because his heart, Duyata, very much pain. Vanam, to the forest. Mat adesha, according to my instruction. Karaha, acting. Ajitam, unconquerable. Prabhum, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jigaya, he defeated that his bhakta of devotees gunai with the qualities parajitam conquered. Translation: the great sage Narada continued, just see how Dhruva Maharaj aggrieved at the harsh words of his stepmother, went to the forest at the age of only 5 years, and under my direction underwent austerity. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unconquerable, Dhruva Maharaj defeated him with the specific qualifications possessed by the Lord's devotees. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Godhead is unconquerable. No one can conquer the Lord. But he voluntarily accepts subordination to the devotional qualities of his devotees. For example, Lord Krishna accepted subordination to the control of Mother Yashoda because she was a great devotee. The Lord likes to be under the control of his devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that everyone comes before the Lord and offers him exalted prayers, but the Lord does not feel as pleased when offered such prayers as he does when a devotee, out of pure love, chastises him as a subordinate. The Lord forgets his exalted position and willingly submits to his pure devotee. Dhruva Maharaj conquered the Supreme Lord because at a very tender age, only 5 years old, he underwent all the austerities of devotional service. This devotional service was, of course, executed under the direction of a great sage, Narada. This is the first principle of devotional service. Adau Gurvashrayam. In the beginning, one must accept a bona fide spiritual master, and if a devotee follows strictly the directions of the spiritual master, as Dhruva Maharaj followed the instructions of Narada Muni, then it is not difficult for him to achieve the favor of the Lord. Paragraph. The sum total of devotional qualities is development of unalloyed love for Krishna. This unalloyed love for Krishna can be achieved simply by hearing about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya accepted this principle that one in any position submissively hears the transcendental message spoken by Krishna or about Krishna, then gradually he develops the quality of unalloyed love. And by that love only he can conquer the unconquerable. The Mayavadi philosophers aspire to become one with the Supreme Lord, but the devotee surpasses that position. Not only does a devotee become one in quality with the Supreme Lord, but he sometimes becomes the father, mother, or master of the Lord. Arjuna also, by his devotional service, made Krishna his chariot driver. He ordered the Lord, "Put my chariot here." And the Lord executed his order. These are some examples of how a devotee can acquire the exalted position of conquering the unconquerable. End of purport. Hare Krishna. So this is the second of four verses where the spiritual master is Narada Muni, is glorifying his disciple. And he's giving a little of the history, and he's giving the outcome, the history of his stepmother. The Sanskrit is Guru Dara, the wife of his father. His mother, the wife of his father. But in this case, it's his stepmother, the co-wife. He was... Vakshirayar, her harsh words, Binena, caused him very much grief. And very disturbed. Duyata, hridayena duyata, disturbed in his heart. That's like the history or the story and the inspiration for his doing what he did. Banam, he went to the forest. Mud adesha karo, following the instructions of Narada. So a few things. He was submissive to the instructions of Narada. Because of that, he made spiritual progress. The instructions of Narada, the instructions of the spiritual master, are meant for that purpose. And one can follow them, partially follow them, hardly follow them, not follow them. The response that in this case, Dhruva, the response of the devotee who very sincerely,
very carefully, very meticulously carries out the instructions of the spiritual master, something happens. Besides, the purification takes place, but the awakening of love of God, because that's what the instruction is intended to achieve. Along with this love of God comes so many other nice qualifications. There's this nice section in Chaitanya Charitamrita that describes the qualities of a devotee. There's many places in the scripture that describe qualities of a devotee, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita and similarly in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami's writings, there's qualities of a devotee, 26 qualities of a devotee. This is kind of like a standard understanding that we should all have. Amongst them, one is primary, and the others, 25, are secondary. And from the primary, this 25 secondary follow. So the primary qualification is taking complete shelter of Krishna. Being completely devoted to Krishna. Krishna Eka Sharana. Having Krishna as one's only shelter. Being completely devoted to Krishna. Like Rupa Goswami, Sanyabi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karmaja Navratam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam or Avyavichari Bhakti. Become just completely fixed in that purpose. We may be far from the goal, but as far as attainment is concerned, just like Dhruva, he was, as it's said several times here, just 5 years old. What does he understand about Vishnu or Bhakti or transcendence or beyond the modes of nature? He just had instructions and he followed the instructions. And so he attained shelter of Krishna. And from that Krishna Eka Sharana, then the other qualities come. Or we'll say it this way. Krishna decorates his devotees with nice qualities. So where do qualities come from, or for that matter, where does anything come from? And the answer is, Krishna is the source of everything. So now we'll do it again. The devotee, Dhruva, wasn't yet a devotee. He, through Narada's association, he received the process of bhakti, and he submitted himself fully to the personality of Godhead because he wanted something. His motivation wasn't pure, but he submitted himself fully to the personality of Godhead under the direction of Narada, and through that one quality, the other qualities came. And that means Krishna, seeing that quality of submission unto him, complete devotion unto him, Krishna very happily decorates his devotee with qualities. That's how it works. Prabhupada gives the example of decorating one's face looking in the mirror. So we put tilak on. We're not seeing our face. We're seeing the image in the mirror, and we're applying tilak as we're looking at the image in the mirror. So the image in the mirror is being decorated, but it's our face that's being decorated. He gives that example to say, like deity worship, or for that matter, anything in the realm of devotional service. What we're doing when we're decorating the deity is nice ornaments, nice dress, nice garland, nice, everything nice. So as one is decorating the deity, similarly, one is being decorated with devotional qualities. That's how it works. So, where do we get devotional qualities? From Krishna. Krishna decorates his devotees with those devotional qualities. I want to read It says, it's a nice section of Bhagavad Gita, where chapter 12, Krishna is describing how pleased he is with devotees that have X, Y, Z, A, B, C, so many qualities. When he sees them decorated with qualities which came from him, he's very pleased. So the essence is he's pleased by their submission to him, Krishna Eka Sharana. Start with chapter 12, text 13. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living beings, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal both in happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. And again, he who, by whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. So how do you get those qualities? By submission to Krishna and not otherwise. And then Krishna decorates his devotee with those qualities, and then he smiles. Oh, this is very nice. That's Krishna. That's our master. He's like that. My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. And there's, he goes on. This one, this quality, that quality, other quality, very dear to me. And then after two more of those, then there's one who's very, very dear to me. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. End of chapter. So one who becomes dear to Krishna, Krishna smiles. Because they're dear to Krishna because of their following this imperishable path, the science of bhakti. Krishna is very pleased. Krishna decorates them with nice qualities. And that's what's being said in this verse. Jagaya tad bhakta gunai parajitam. So, tad bhakta gunai. Bhakta gunai, the qualities of a devotee. Tad bhakta, his bhakta, the qualities of his devotee, parajitam, they conquer him. The earlier is the word ajita, and now here is parajitam. He who is unconquerable becomes conquered. He becomes conquered by the qualities of his devotees. Jagaya, he defeated. Dhruva defeated the unconquerable with his qualities, which came from the unconquerable. The way Prabhupada writes it, the sum total of devotional qualities is development of unalloyed love for Krishna. So it's not simply get this quality, that quality, the other quality, by some independent endeavor. The fact is, those qualities aren't arrived at or reached by anything other than pure devotion. That is to say, some good quality or another good quality, if the basis and support for those qualities is not love for Krishna, it's ephemeral. It's now you see it, now you don't. There's a good quality, and whoops, it just went away. But conversely, where there's unalloyed love for Krishna, it's not impermanent. It's of the soul. The soul becomes awakened to his natural state of love of God, and the soul manifests these nice qualities like springtime. Spring is such a nice season. You know, poor trees over the winter, and then spring comes and all this color, and it's just fantastic. And then the season changes, and then the color is gone, and it's green, and then changes and becomes golden and, you know, discolored, and then the leaves fall to the ground. So qualities that are spiritual, they're not circumstantial. Sometimes like this and sometimes like that. They're consistent, or they're eternal. They're of the soul, which is eternal. The soul, original consciousness of the soul becoming revived by the bhakti process, that's what is being appreciated here. Then he who is unconquerable becomes conquered. There's another very nice verse, very famous verse, Prabhupada referred to it so many times, where same idea, he who is unconquerable becomes conquered, and he becomes conquered by the love of his devotee. So in the purport, Prabhupada is giving examples. Mother Jasoda, Arjuna having Krishna as his chariot driver. These are wonderful. We know the very beautiful story from Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya was in a South Indian tour, and he was at the temple of Ranganath, and he saw one Brahmin, literate Brahmin, trying to follow the order of his spiritual master to read Bhagavad Gita, the entire Bhagavad Gita, every day, which was a challenge because he didn't know how to read. He was illiterate. Lord Chaitanya saw him crying with the Bhagavad Gita in his hand. My dear Brahmin, why are you crying? So, because when I hold the book in my hand, I think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, becoming the chariot driver of Arjuna. He's becoming the servant of his devotee. And when I think of the love of that Krishna has for Arjuna, I just begin to cry. So, scholarship isn't the way to access Bhagavad Gita. Devotion is the way to access Bhagavad Gita or any spiritual understanding. And another piece of this message in the purport is that bhakti surpasses monism. The monist wants to become one with God, and the devotee, if Krishna so desires, surpasses where Krishna is subordinate to his devotee. And this is, it's a favorite topic for Vaishnavas, particularly Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because our mood of worship of Krishna is not Aishwarya. Oh, he's grand and spectacular and full of opulence. He's worshipable because of that. We're just awe and veneration of the Supreme Lord. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas appreciate the sweetness of the intimacy of the love of the bhakta who has such love for Krishna, Krishna becomes subordinate to that devotee. But even where the mood of the devotee is a Vaikuntha mood, like Ambarish Maharaj, because of the love of Ambarish Maharaj, what did the Supreme Lord tell Durvas Muni? I'm subordinate to my devotee. I can't do anything independent of whatever Maharaj Ambarish says, so don't ask me, ask him. If he says I can do whatever he says.
have no independence. He's a supreme independent. But the fullness of that supreme independence is subordinated to his devotee. Willfully he does like that. This is his quality of bhaktavatsala. Our Lord and Master is most wonderful. So, it's a double glorification. Narada is glorifying Dhruva, and Narada is indirectly glorifying Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu is that kind of master who, when he sees this incredible submission of this just a little boy, but so sincerely he followed the instructions of Narada, he made himself submissive to him. I'm thinking of this little section where the intensity of Dhruva's meditation upon the personality of Godhead and his controlling of the breathing process through that trance of meditation was such that the flow of air in the whole universe became stopped. And so the demigods became choked. And the demigods went to Lord Vishnu. Help, we can't breathe. Help, what's going on? And so Lord Vishnu reciprocated with them, saying, don't worry, he's just a 5-year-old boy, and he's doing some austerities, and I'll go take care of it. You can go back to your heavenly planets, everything will be nice. The submission of the demigods was also reciprocated with, but it's not the submission of unalloyed love, it's the submission of help. We can't breathe. We have a problem. Please help us with our problem. Now, Dhruva had a problem also. He had like an angry get back mood. But the intensity of his submission to Narada's instructions and to the personality of Godhead surpassed that of the demigods, and therefore his destination, the Lord came before him with love. Not to say Lord Vishnu doesn't love the demigods, but the nature of that love was even more intimate. And we know Dhruva went back to Godhead, because that's just happened. So, whether the demigods, what happens to demigods at the end of their life? Same thing that happens to anybody at the end of their life. Whatever their mind is fixed on, they attain that state. But so commonly in the heavenly realm, it's along with piety, it's also enjoyment. That's the program. Enjoying the fruits of piety in the heavenly realm. And serving the Supreme Lord, at least the demigods, in their controlling capacity. But the love of Dhruva surpassed that, and he went straight back to Godhead, which is being appreciated. By conquering the unconquerable Supreme Lord. Parajitam tadbhakta gunai parajitam. Okay, so any comments or questions? Karti?
What is this qualities of a devotee? So we have to develop these 26 qualities first, then it will come devotion. We go into devotion, then the qualities.
I'll answer your question by asking a question. Which goes first, the horse or the cart? The cart goes first. The horse goes first, okay. So the horse pulls the cart, right? So one of the 26 qualities carries or conveys the other 25. So first comes devotion to Krishna. Then, so let's say some nice devotee is becoming, aspiring devotee is becoming a little devoted, and they think, when I come before Krishna, I want Krishna to smile. So what makes Krishna smile? He's just listed some nice things that make him smile. So let me try for that, following behind the horse, yeah, out of devotion for Krishna, because it pleases Krishna. So I can't develop these 25 qualities unless Krishna, so, but Krishna decorates. But it's so with the primary and then the secondary. Swarup Lakshana, Tatastha Lakshana. Primary, secondary, or marginal characteristics. The marginal follow the primary. It doesn't mean I don't try to, you know, do those things that Krishna is pleased with through qualities that Krishna is pleased by. I do those things, but following the one thing for the pleasure of Krishna, not independently. That's our devotional life. And they'll come. They will come. But we don't just, you know, sit back in a rocking chair sipping lemonade and wait for the qualities to come. We endeavor to please Krishna. And then Krishna sees the endeavor with devotion and Krishna decorates. Okay? Surya, you always have something. Or two or three. Go ahead.
Two comments and one question.
Okay.
The first is for today's verse is really pleasing to hear about, again, Krishna's quality of Bhakta Kshala. It's reminded. I was remembering, when we were discussing this further, I was remembering Krishna's Bhakta Kshala quality, and also how he does to satisfy Vishnu's wishes.
Yeah.
I was really a couple of questions, so it was very nice to think on that again. Thank you, Maharaj, for that. The other comment is from the first day class, in the evening class, you talk a lot of times about how Krishna is very kind, very kind. So I was just, it just got into my mind, and later days, like I was doing, my chanting was not so good, like not focusing on. So it was like, I was thinking, like linking to your instruction that Krishna is very kind, that to one of my questions you answered me that saying, think of Krishna at difficult times, or, you know, focus on Krishna, think of Krishna in like every time, like you were telling to one of my questions, answering to that. So I was kind of linking the, both the things together and thinking as an instruction to me for this message from you, that Krishna is very kind in instructing me that to focus on those lotus feet while chanting and even all the time. So that is the instruction that I took from your visit this time. Thanks for that knowledge. My question is a general question about since we talked.
About which?
It's a general question.
About?
About karma yoga, karma kanda thing. If we talked in the yesterday's Bhagavatam class.
Okay.
My question is like, I was thinking on akarma. So this karma yoga with the three renunciation, like with the non-doership, proprietorship, and the submitting the foot of the result, with that three renunciation, with doing the karma activities, is called karma yoga.
It's called karma yoga.
Yeah. And bhakti yoga is kind of same. But it's more devotion.
What are you doing? You're asking what's the difference between karma kanda, karma yoga, and bhakti yoga?
What is akarma activities? Like, what is the definition for akarma in both?
What does it mean? It means without reaction.
Yeah, without reaction. So, does that even whatever some people does with Dasa Karma Yoga also falls into karma.
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, it also says in the chapter that it
is that the case for what?
The chapter third.
The capital?
The chapter.
Chapter 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chapter 3 says that Karma Yoga also takes to liberation stage.
You're asking the same question and it's the same answer. Liberation stage is karma free. Karma free is a liberation stage. Does Karma Yoga connect one with no reaction? Yes. And that's the karma free stage. You want to hear it again?
I'm trying to compare. So
I'm trying to understand what you're asking.
What is the bhakti yoga?
What's the difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga?
Yes.
Okay, just keep it real simple. Let's go to chapter 12. Here's the topmost. One who's not at the topmost, follow the regulations of bhakti yoga. You'll develop the desire for the topmost. If you can't follow the regulations of bhakti yoga, then try to work for me. That's karma yoga. So the added element is the regulations of bhakti yoga, along with working for Krishna. Simple. So we like people to follow the regulations of bhakti yoga. But if they can't do that, then they can try to work for Krishna. Do you know people like that? I know people like that. They can't follow the regulations, but they like Krishna. They like to work for Krishna.
So
that's karma yoga.
What is the regulation you're talking about?
You know what the regulations are. Nectar devotion.
Always.
Yeah. The vittis of sadhana bhakti. That's the regulations. The vittis. The regulations. The rules. Okay, not just the four, but you know the whole shebang. Nectar devotion.
Automatically, who does that, it becomes akarma.
You speak so fast, I can't understand what you're saying.
Is bhakti yoga vidhis akarma? Is that?
Of course, the vidhis. You know what the list of in nectar devotion is like? You know the 64 items of so. When we're doing deity worship, is it karma or akarma? Okay, so you have the answer to your question. Yes? If we follow them properly, we can make offenses, so there's offenses to be avoided when executing them. That's also spelled out. Because there's reaction for offenses. So there's certain things that we do and certain things that we avoid doing. Okay? And there's something else. I thought so. Huh?
No, everybody else.
Go ahead. You got the floor.
Because yesterday, one of my questions was what Dhamma Prabhu asked.
Speak slowly, please.
One of my questions was the mode of false ego plus more of...
Yeah. You want to follow that question again? I don't want to know if I want to go there again. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I did it for 5 minutes and I don't want to do it some more. Thanks. Yes.
We're talking about demigods at the time when they leave the body.
Yes. Yes.
Like, we know in the present universe, Brahma is pure devotee. It's mentioned like that, but it may not be always the case. But I was surprised because Brahma, in order to any Brahma, any universe, if they have to create the universe, they have to get the darshan of the Lord, and the Lord gives him Vedas. He gets to know the opulence of the Lord and his original position. So how is it it would be difficult for Brahma and other universes to not be devotee, like pure devotee.
Where did you get your information? Brahma in other universes is not a devotee or not a pure devotee. Where did you get that information?
First position, like it's mentioned that no one takes the position of a Brahma, and then he may go down or go up. So this was I read in Prabhupada.
Well, so what is it exactly that you're asking? Because it's kind of like a lot of different things. I'm not really clear what you're asking.
No.
You want the thing of coming from the first birth that one takes entering the material world is the position of Lord Brahma. You want to ask that one, or you want to ask what happens to Brahma after his death, or what happened to demigods after their death, or what's your question? I'm not clear. I don't have the resources, I mean the references in front of me, but there are different destinations for different Brahmas depending on some variables. Commonly, but not always, Brahma goes back to Godhead because of his quality of devotion. But there's other statements that are made in Prabhupada's writings that sometimes that doesn't happen. And I can't remember, I would need to look exactly at the references to see what the circumstances and what the destination is. So I don't have that recall at the moment. But I know there are places that not always he goes back to Godhead. I can research it and share the references with you. I just need some more time to do that. As I mentioned last night, I've been studying Sri Brahma Samhita, and one of the resources from that study is Tamal Krishnamurti's book, which he never published. And there was a period in the 90s when he was very inspired to study Brahma Samhita, and he prepared a manuscript to be published, which never got published. And I have a copy of that manuscript that didn't get published. And in that, there are, again, this is where the reference is not so clear, but there are three different things that can happen to Lord Brahma after his life. Besides going back to Godhead. But I can't remember. Poor memory. Something else? Okay, thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.